Good morning. Thank you so much for having me back. It is a joy to be here. I was just telling Don, I love this group. I love Moms by Grace. That's what we all are, by the grace of God. And it's a joy to be here with you. It's been a joy to pray for you as I prepared to be here this morning. And so let's get started. Lists. How many of us love our lists? Before the days of cell phones, when I was raising my babies, it was all about pens, pencils, and paper, and how I loved my lists. It was such a sense of accomplishment to see all those crossouts at the end of the day. I even got my kids into lists when they got a little bit older. I would write out their chores on paper, and every time they finish, they'd run over and cross it off. And the best part is in between every chore was hug mommy. Which, of course, they had to do before they could move on. And that was the best. This morning, we are here to discuss ordering your home as part of this year's Moms by Grace theme, Seasons of Motherhood. And I pray what we go over this morning will encourage you in your love for the Lord, your husband, and children, and encourage your growth as a treasured woman of God. As I thought about what ordering your home means, my love of lists came to mind. Getting things done, having that sense of accomplishment, that tasks were completed and that I could move on. Tasks such as laundry, including folding and putting away, not just getting it from the washer to the dryer, although there were days that that's as far as I got. Dusting the furniture, cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning the kitchen. My lists aren't quite as satisfying these days. I use my phone most of the time, which is very convenient. I can add to the list every time I think of something else that needs to be done because we all know that our phones are always with us. Sometimes paper is not as nearby. However, as I finish things, I erase them off my list, so I lose the joy of seeing things crossed off. Am I weird or can anybody relate? As I was thinking about lists, a few from God's Word came to mind. Never believe for a moment that God's word does not tell us how to live holy lives and how to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And here's one from Romans 12, starting verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. You don't need to write all these down. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Did you catch all that? Can you imagine that written on a list in front of you every morning and making sure you crossed each one off? How would that make for an orderly home? As I began praying about and preparing for this morning, I did a search on my Bible app for order, for ordering your home. Crazy thing was, nothing came up. If it is something that is that important to us as wives and mothers to know about, why is there nothing in the Bible about it? No chapter and verse. After I did a biblical search, I then turned to Pinterest, right? Turns out, if you put ordering your home in the search bar, all sorts of organization hacks come up. But as I continued my study, I realized this is addressed in God's word. But instead of ordering, the word scripture uses is managing. And God does give us very clear direction from his word of how we are to manage our homes. Home management is typically defined as the way families use their resources to achieve family goals. It involves a manager making decisions to allocate family resources, including time, money, or energy, to reflect the family goals and priorities. This definition makes it sound like a simple process by which all the family goals can be reached. But what about distractions, like limited resources, dirty diapers, crying babies, and boo-boos that need to be bandaged and kissed? All this can interfere with that simple management process. How does the wise woman manage her home effectively? Be encouraged. You are not expected to figure this out on your own. While the list we just went through in Romans 12 is helpful for your overall walk with Christ, let's see what specifically Scripture addresses as it pertains to ordering your home or managing your home. God's Word, as always, is sufficient and full of principles that we can draw from as we consider three different aspects of why we should want to be effective managers in our homes. Number one, to be faithful stewards. What is our motivation? Number two, be faithful obeyers. And we're going to see what we are to be doing, what we are to be obeying. And finally, faithful doers. How to effectively apply methods to make that happen. So what does it mean to be a faithful steward? What does God's Word have to say about why we should embrace this idea? What motivates us? The world defines management as the process of using what one has to get what one wants. Today's culture tells us that management allows women to feel in control of their lives, resulting in the increased sense of well-being. A wise woman, a woman who fears the Lord, however, has a different motivation or incentive for effective management. We desire to manage in order to be faithful stewards of our God-given resources and receive the blessing that always comes with obedience. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 25, and we'll look briefly at the parable of the talents, which helps illustrate this for us. This parable is purposely grouped with two others, the parable of the two servants and the parable of the virgins, to give us a complete understanding of what it means to be faithful as we await the return of Christ. In this parable, we are reminded that we must keep diligently working as we look for his return. The parable of the talents commends faithful work and wise planning. In the story, a rich man travels to some faraway place. He appoints servants as managers over specific allotments of his wealth or talents until he returns. One of the servants buried his treasure and did nothing with it. However, the other two put their money to work and were able to double their portions. To the good stewards of his wealth, the master responded in verse 21, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." These servants were honored for their faithfulness. When we view ourselves as a steward of God's resources, we are acknowledging that God is the owner of them. We are simply the manager. When we understand our role, we are not motivated by control or self-gratification, but rather we are motivated by pleasing God through faithful management of his talents, or in this case, our homes. In addition to being a wise steward of the resources God has entrusted to us, we should be motivated to manage or order our home out of obedience to commands and principles in God's Word. A moment ago, I mentioned something and wanted to briefly come back to it before we move on. Obedience brings blessing. Write this somewhere in your Bible or somewhere in your notes to remind yourself of this simple truth regularly. Obedience brings blessing. And the greatest blessing is our salvation. Acts 3:19 tells us, if we are obedient to repent of our sins, they will be blotted out, wiped away, and in God's eyes, as far as the east is from the west, from Psalm 103. And that's just the beginning. The Bible is full of blessings that come with obedience, and as believers, those blessings are ours when we obey. So remember, obedience brings blessing. So let's find out how we can be obedient by keeping order in our homes and the blessings that will follow. This moves us to our next point. As we understand what motivates us, being faithful stewards of God's resources, we want to then understand the biblical mandate to have an orderly home, a command we are called to obey. In other words, how to be faithful obeyers. And guess what? I have two lists for you. We are admonished in James 1:22 to be doers of the word and not simply hearers. But doers of what? What are we to do in order to be obedient to God's word? We're going to answer that question from the following three texts: Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, Titus 2, 3 through 5, and 1 Timothy 5, 14. Scripture teaches that the home is the primary domain of the woman, which means we bear much responsibility in the management and organization of our homes and family. So again, if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 31. This woman is competent in a variety of areas, and this passage gives us a clear picture of how we should strive to manage our households. Let's look at those areas. We aren't going to read each of these verses, but I just want to point them to you, so maybe you can go back later. So number one, in verse 14, she manages food for her household. She knows where to go and is industrious to secure quality food for her family. Number two, in verse 13 and 19, she manages clothing for her household. She is creative and knows how to identify quality materials. Today, we don't have to buy fabric to sew clothes for ourselves or our children, but we can find good quality at reasonable prices. Number three, in verse 15, she manages her time. So important. She rises early and stays up late to ensure that her family's needs are met. Number four, in verses 16 and verse 24, she manages her business. She knows how to conduct business outside the home, the home that in turn profits her home. Number five, in verse 17, she manages her physical energy. She is strong because she knows how to work hard and use her strength. In verse 18, she manages the production of goods. She's an entrepreneur who knows how to produce quality. And finally, number seven, in verse 15 to 18, and then 20 to 24, she cares for the people around her. She is other-centered and knows how to plan for and is generous for the needs of others. And that includes her husband, her children, her servants, the poor, and even the merchants that she comes in contact with. So as you can see, this woman is a skilled manager in a variety of areas. And if there is an area where you see yourself fall short, don't just throw your arms up, say, I can't do that, that's not my area of giftedness, forget it. Do what you can to learn about that area that you fall short in. Read a book, take a class, or talk to an older woman about how to improve in various areas. We must make it a priority to be an effective manager of our home. When we are not an effective manager, being at least teachable in those areas, there is tension and conflict because of the chaos and disorder that results. It is important to note that we get to set the tone in our homes. We have the responsibility as well as the privilege to create an atmosphere that will not drain us of the much needed energy to serve our family. We must make it our business to find out how to keep an orderly and clean home and stay organized with the various tasks that make for that kind of home: cleaning, grocery shopping, meal planning, etc. Becoming a Proverbs 31 woman can seem like a daunting task or goal. However, it is much like sanctification. It is a process that takes time, effort, and discipline. None of us have this all down when we marry and start a new home. And believe me, I could tell you stories. But remember, just like with sanctification, it's about the direction, not perfection. Let's turn to our next passage, Titus 2, 3 through 5, and I'm going to read that. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. So train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Are you ready for a Greek lesson? One of the things older women are to teach younger women is to be a worker at home. The term worker at home is a Greek word, oikoros. I have no idea if that's the right way to say it, but it sounds good. This is a compound word in the Greek. The root word oikos means a dwelling, a home, or a household. And the second root word, ergon, means to work or be employed. So, from this short little Greek lesson, we understand the meaning of this term, worker at home, in the original language suggests that women should seek to manage their home with excellence. A woman is to focus her life on the home. God designed the family to be her sphere of responsibility. Does this mean that we're at home 24/7? Well, no, we're all here right now, right? The woman in Proverbs 31 left her home when she needed to buy a field or when she needed supplies. Yet even those trips benefited her family. She pours her life into her family. She wakes up early and goes to bed late for the sake of those in it. When we look back at Titus 2:5, we see that women are to love their families, manage their households, and with excellence, so that the word of God may not be blasphemed or reviled. When we practice godly conduct in our home, we are obedient to God's word. It is a testimony to a watching world. For now, let's move on to 1 Timothy. We'll be coming back to Titus 2 in just a bit. And in 1 Timothy 5:14, Paul tells women, among other things, to manage their households so as to not give the adversary, or Satan, any occasion for slander. Again, how we manage our homes is a testimony of Christ to unbelievers. And here we go with a little bit more Greek. This time we're looking at manage their households. This is a Greek term that implies all aspects of household administration. It's not just merely the raising or care of children. It's all aspects of home management. And what exactly does this look like? What does it look like to manage a home biblically? What are the qualities we work towards to be a wise manager? I have a list of 7 things and scripture that you can note for each one. Number 1, and we saw this in Proverbs 31 and in Titus 2, she is a skilled worker. She does not just manage, she manages with excellence. And number 2, she is industrious. She is a hard worker. She is not lazy and develops the self-discipline needed to fulfill her obligations. She applies the principle of considering others as more important than herself. And Proverbs 6:6 says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." I think of that verse often when I get my ant spray out. I'm supposed to learn from these ants that are trying to get in my pantry. Proverbs 20:13, "Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty." Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." Number 3, she is orderly and well-managed. She takes the time to be organized and implements the principle of doing everything decently and in order. And that's from 1 Corinthians 14:40. She learns how to plan, establish goals, and make decisions that reflect her priorities. Number 4, she plans ahead and she anticipates her family's needs. She meets the needs of her family in all areas of family life, including scheduling, meal planning, household maintenance, finances. In Proverbs 31:21, which we were just looking at, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. And then later in verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Number 5, she manages her time well. She has determined her priorities and takes the time needed to plan. Psalm 90:12, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Ephesians 5:16, "Making the best use of the time because the days are evil." Number 6, she is motivated to please the Lord. Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men." And finally, number 7, she is intentional and sets a godly tone in the home. Like Proverbs 31:26, she reflects that the law of kindness is on her tongue. Her words, tone of voice, and deeds all work together to maintain a godly atmosphere in her home. She is confident in the future because her faith in God and her joy is in the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." And then Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exalts and with my song I give thanks to him." The home is the domain where the woman fulfills God's design for herself. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wisest of women builds her home, her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down." The key ingredient determining whether women build up or tear down their homes is how they choose to manage or order their households. We can either understand what home management is, develop the skills necessary to fulfill our role in a biblical manner, or our foolishness in neglecting to do so will tear it down. Today's culture does not look kindly on God's design for woman as a homemaker. It is viewed as demeaning, inferior, and limiting. However, this is God's divine assignment and should be embraced with enthusiasm and skill. I found the following quote about homemaking, and I love the word pictures that it creates. As I read, listen for the blessings that come with obedience to God's will for us. Homemaking, being a full-time wife and mother, is not a destructive drought of usefulness, but an overflowing oasis of opportunity. It is not a dreary cell to contain one's talents and skills, but a brilliant catalyst to channel creativity and energies into meaningful work. It is not a rope for binding one's productivity in the marketplace, but reins for guiding one's posterity in the home. It is not oppressive restraint of intellectual prowess for the community, but a release of wise instruction to your own household. It is not the bitter assignment of inferiority of your person, but the bright assurance of the ingenuity of God's plan, especially as worked out in God's plan for marriage. It is neither the limitation of gifts available nor stinginess in distributing the benefits of those gifts, but rather the multiplication of a mother's legacy to the generations to come and the generous bestowal of all God meant a mother to give those that he entrusted to her care. The next time you're having a rough day, perhaps begrudging the fact that you are stuck at home, think of this line. Homemaking is not a destructive drought of usefulness, but an overflowing oasis of opportunity. Those piles of laundry and dishes are just that, an oasis, an overflowing oasis of opportunity. Those piles, as God is using your legacy for generations to come, and the generous bestowal of all God meant a mother to give those that he entrusted to her care. So far, we've seen the importance of following God's plan and command to bring order to our homes. By being careful to plan, able to anticipate our family's needs, sensible, teachable, and able to discern the consequences of our decisions. So now that we have the proper motivation to be a faithful steward and understand the biblical mandate or command to be faithful obeyers of making our homes a priority, we are ready to look at just how we effectively apply methods of household management or order. How do we apply Colossians 3:23? Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. How do we be faithful doers? There are many practical aspects to effective home management, including planning, organization, goal setting and decision making. Planning and organization are dependent on one another. Anticipating your family's needs and deciding how those needs will be met in the best way. Among other things, we've already mentioned this involves meal planning. Your days are busy, so you need to have a plan in place for those things that you can control. Dinner is one of those things. It's always going to be there, and usually a time when the whole family can come together and share a meal. When I was a young mom, someone told me that if you don't have a plan for dinner by 10 a.m., it's not going to happen. 4 or 5 p.m. is too late to be deciding what you have to work with. Even if it's as simple as mac and cheese, know what you're doing. Now, that sounded a little crazy to me. Dinner plans by 10 a.m.? But it turned out to be good advice in my home as the years went by. Are you pretty sure you're not a planner? That's the first thing to learn for the sake of your family. Planning takes time, sitting down and looking at the week that's coming up and deciding what the plan is for each day. Of course, our days are not going to go according to plan, but having a basic structure will help you gain control when things go awry. Organization and planning encompasses the whole household. It is anticipating such needs as clothing, transportation, food, finances, and cleaning, and coming up with a plan to meet those needs. One of the biggest time eaters in the realm of ordering our homes is keeping them clean. We love the finished product when things are clean and neat and tidy, but few of us enjoy the actual process. Cleaning can be hard work, especially when there's little ones seeming to undo everything you accomplish. Unfortunately, there is no way to get around this responsibility, and there are many benefits to having a clean home. Fewer health problems and accidents. And besides that, you are setting standards for your children and teaching them great lessons that will benefit them in the years ahead. Since this is such an important aspect of keeping an orderly home, we need to have a plan to make that happen. Does continually keeping your home clean seem overwhelming to you? Remember what we said about recognizing our shortcomings when it comes to managing our homes? We need to learn how to do it. The best way to handle cleaning is to organize it. It is only difficult when it's not completed on a regular basis. And when regular attention is given to cleaning, it's relatively easy to maintain. But first, you have to know how to clean, right? Take a look at the books. Well, we had some books that we were going to recommend to you. They're sitting at home in Santa Clarita. So anyway, we have some books we could recommend to you. Or better yet, apply Titus 2. Talk to an older woman who has been mandated and commanded in that passage to teach you how to be a keeper at home, and also to train you to love your husband and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to your husband, that the word of God may not be reviled. That is what these women are there for. Talk to them, ask questions, learn from them. Somehow, they made it through the season of motherhood that you find yourself in without Pinterest, Google, or social media, and they gained great wisdom in the process. Now, will any older woman, anyone who's older than you do? Let's take a quick look back at Titus 2:3 and see exactly what to look for. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. Look for a woman with those qualities, someone you can pattern your life after. It's a high standard that we as older women are commanded to fulfill in order to train the next generation of godly women. Now be careful how you ask for that help. Don't bring up the fact that she's older and you're younger. None of us like to acknowledge that the years are telling on us, but would rather think that we are young and vibrant. Although, I have to say, the moment I became a granny, I had no problem being considered an older woman. I will embrace it and proclaim it as long as I get to be Brooklyn and Colby's granny. Back to the cleaning process. It's important to develop a schedule that allows you to keep up with all those tasks. This can be done in the following categories: daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly. And once you're in the habit of performing daily and weekly tasks as part of your routine, there's no reason to write them down. Unless you're like me and you love crossing things off your list. You might put reminders in your calendar for the less frequent tasks that come up monthly or quarterly. You'll be surprised how fast time goes by. This hardly seems necessary to say, but be sure you have what you need as far as supplies and equipment. All this takes us back to having a plan and being ready. Determine in advance how you will complete each day's tasks. Again, have a plan ahead of time and set a time limit. This will help you not take all day to finish your tasks and keep you motivated to get them done. Be sure there's a minimum of distractions and always finish what you started. If you wash dishes, finish the job by putting them away. Leaving them till the next day only adds to the next day's list. And as much as possible, be disciplined and diligent to do the next thing. I heard this from Elizabeth Elliot years ago, and there are times that I literally preach it to myself, sometimes out loud. Just do the next thing. It's much easier to clean on a regular basis than to try to catch up. Keep this in mind. House cleaning is only difficult when it's not completed. And finally, make good use of the people power around you. Keeping your home in order or managing it can also include oversight and delegation. Children can learn valuable traits when required to participate in the caring of their home. They learn to plan, be organized, do their task excellently and completely, and as they get older, be sure they meet a reasonable standard of cleanliness rather than working haphazardly. They learn to do their work heartily as unto the Lord. It is also a great opportunity to teach them why we keep our homes orderly. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves and think of others as more important than ourselves. When guests arrive, expected or unexpected, do we want dirty bathrooms, sinks full of dirty dishes, a house strewn with odds and ends? We serve others and the Lord by the testimony that our homes exude. Now, that's not to say there won't be days when the bathrooms are dirty, the dishes are piled high, and the piles of laundry, both clean and dirty, are all over the place. And of course, here comes that knock at the door. Or the call from your husband. Hey, I invited the Joneses for dinner. That's okay, right? But those times need only be few and far between, not because you're superwoman and have it all together, but because you take the time to plan, organize, and get what needs to be done in an orderly fashion, all to the glory of God. You might even call your Titus 2 friend to come over and help, especially on hard days when the kids are sick, have been throwing up all day and night, and you have gotten no rest. I've gotten to answer that call a couple times, and it is such a joy. The proper care of our homes is a ministry to our family and an act of service to God. Proper care of our homes should be viewed as a biblical stewardship. All we have belongs to the Lord. He has entrusted our children and our homes to us to order well. And his word guides us, shows us how to be good stewards of his gifts and resources, and obediently carry out his plan for our lives.